The song that we just sang introduces the theme of our study today. Whosoever surely maineth me, oh surely maineth me. Whosoever surely maineth me, whosoever maineth me. We'd do well to allow those words to sink into our hearts today. As some may get to thinking that the teachings of the Bible apply to a certain class of people, or that in some way I'm excluded, I'm here to point out that whosoever is a broad word that includes everybody and meaneth me. As we read in John 3 and verse 16, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word, whosoever, occurs a good number of times throughout the book, and I've called attention to a few of those in this study. The first one I want to bring to your attention is in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 9. When the Pharisees had come to Jesus asking, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" That goes back to Genesis 2, 18 to 24. "And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Have you not read that? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." They then bring up about Moses commanding to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away. Jesus said, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you," here we have teaching concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, under three different dispensations. What was true at the beginning, during the patriarchal dispensation, then during the Mosaic time, and now in the day of Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, the possessor of all power in heaven and in earth, had this to say, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." You may encounter an individual sometime who takes the position that the teachings of the Lord with reference to marriage, divorce, and remarriage do not apply to non-Christians. But I'm here to suggest to you that these teachings apply to whosoever. Some think that the alien sinner can marry, divorce, whomsoever they will, and that when they're baptized, that all of those adulterous marriages have been washed away. This will not allow that. "Whosoever," that meaneth me, "shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." And so when you study the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, just remember that the teachings apply to whosoever, and whosoever meaneth me. The second example of this use is in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 32. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Luke's account in the 10th chapter in verse 8, which is printed below the heading of the psalm, says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess." This confession is one that is made with the mouth and is made unto salvation. The Apostle Paul in the salvation teaching of Romans 10 pointed that out, when he said in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That makes it pretty important, doesn't it? The fact that salvation is connected with it. A good example of this confession being made with the mouth, a confession of the Lord Jesus, is when the Ethiopian eunuch, in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 37, said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Notice, he didn't confess his sins. A lot of people, you might ask, what do you confess in becoming a Christian? They say, you confess your sins. The Lord didn't say to confess your sins in becoming a Christian, did he? He rather said in that Matthew 10:32 passage, confess me. What did Paul say about confessing your sins in Romans 10? Didn't say anything about that, did he? He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What did the eunuch confess? Did he confess he was a sinner? No. He confessed his faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you're baptized, like this man was, you'll make the same confession he made. Whosoever meaneth me. If I will confess the Son of God before men, he said he'll confess me before the Father. Has he confessed you before the Father? But also, in the book of Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, another passage where the Lord addressed whosoever. When he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, what do you say? Whosoever will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Following the Lord is not without sacrifice. It's going to cost us some things. That's suggested by the word deny. The religion of Jesus Christ is a religion of self-denial. He said, let him deny himself. That involves me denying or giving up some things in order to serve the Lord. And whosoever meaneth me. Sometimes we might think about things people need to deny and give up, and we don't think about ourselves. Whosoever meaneth me. In Romans 10 and verse 13, Paul said, for whosoever, there's our word, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Did you know that whosoever meaneth me, that if I'll call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved? This was an old promise made back in the book of Joel in chapter 2, 28 through 32, where Joel predicted that in the last days that whosoever would call upon the Lord's name would be delivered or saved. Joel said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Joel 2:32. Joel 2 points to Acts 2. When you come to Acts 2, notice that the apostles, by the instruction of Jesus, were in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the Father. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Some mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Verse 13. Peter said in verse 15, these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He quotes now the passage we just read, beginning in verse 17, through verse 21, in which he announces, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessing for those on this occasion to hear that message. As they had just taken Jesus with wicked hands, crucified and slain, and they're reminded of God's promise of salvation to whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever included these murderers of the Son of God. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost was the promise of salvation that would come to those who would call on the name of the Lord. He said in verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Also in Acts 22, when Saul met up with Ananias, a certain disciple in Damascus, Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." I'll stress that. Calling on the name of the Lord. And so arising and being baptized is involved in calling on the name of the Lord. And then in Romans 10, when Paul said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," he followed that statement with this teaching, beginning in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'm thankful for that promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the fact that that meaneth me. And from Romans 10, I learned that in order to call upon the name of the Lord, I must hear preaching. I must believe. And I must obey. The Lord's always sent preachers. The prophets were raised up many times, sent to the people to preach the message of God. The apostles were sent out. The Lord sent Peter to Cornelius. Ananias to Saul. And I'm thankful for preachers that have been sent into my life, that I've been able to hear the Lord's word proclaimed so as to believe it and to obey it. Today, folks talk about calling on the name of the Lord very loosely. They use that in the context of just praying a prayer. The sinner's prayer. They say if you pray a prayer like that, that's how you call upon the name of the Lord. Yet the Bible doesn't say a word about praying in the sense of calling upon the name of the Lord through praying the sinner's prayer, but rather through hearing, believing, and obeying. That's how it's done. That's how it was done by Saul in Acts 22. That's how it was done by those on Pentecost in Acts 2. That's how it's done today by folks like you and me. Another "whosoever meaneth me" passage comes to us from the book of 2 John and in verse 9. The first word, "whosoever." And I hope by now that we've learned that whenever the Lord says "whosoever," that meaneth me. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Another translation renders that, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." To transgress is to go onward, to exceed the scope of the Lord's authority. We need the attitude that is expressed in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. And in verse 18, when Balaam said, "I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Isn't that a good attitude? Cannot go beyond. Whosoever meaneth me. And then finally, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, John gives the final "whosoever." Revelation 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say what they say. Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The invitation of this book is extended to whosoever. And that meaneth me. And that all are invited to come to Jesus. The greatest invitation, and the word come is an invitation word, was extended when Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." There are a lot of things you and I will never be invited unto. A lot of outstanding people who will never extend us a personal invitation. But Jesus, you know anybody better than him? Greater than him? Higher than him? Has extended an invitation that meaneth me. When he said, "Whosoever will." You see, the Lord does not force us beyond our will. But it's a determination, a response that comes from a person's will. Whosoever will. It's a choice that must be made. And we exercise that choice in coming to Jesus, first of all, by deciding to hear him. In the book of Matthew 17, God said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." In verse 5. Do what? Hear him. So I have a choice to make. Am I going to hear him or not? Back in the long ago in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 18, it was announced that there'd be a prophet raised up like unto Moses. And it was said, "Him shall ye hear." Remember that? In Acts chapter 7, Stephen made reference to that. And you know who he applied it to? To Jesus. Since we're to hear him and whatsoever he says, and whosoever meaneth me, I need to hear him. But also choose to come to him by believing on him. John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I'm he, ye shall die in your sins." And back in verse 21, he said that if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. Can't go to heaven in your sins. And so I must believe on him. I must repent as commanded by him. Luke 13, 3 and 5, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So I have to choose to repent, to make some changes in my life. I choose to make that confession we talked about, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That grand-ledged truth upon which Jesus said he'd build his church, Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And I come to him by choosing to be baptized. Romans 6, 3 and 4. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Wouldn't do any good for anybody to force me to be baptized. Wouldn't do any good for me to try to make you do that. As the Bible says, "Whosoever will." That meaneth me. Am I willing to be baptized? As I see illustrated time and again in the book of Acts, as folks were baptized the same day, the same hour, folks who gladly received his word. And once I've come to him to choose to be faithful all the days of my life, as Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death," that is, even to the taking of your life, "and I'll give thee a crown of life." May we exercise our free will in coming to him and being faithful to him all our days, so that when we go the way of all the earth, it can be said of us, as said of those in Hebrews 11, "These all died in faith. Whosoever meaneth me." If you don't remember anything else, I hope you at least remember that much. Those three words. Anytime you come across that word, "whosoever," it meaneth me. Should you be subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song.